They can put them in the search engine, and they will find studies out the wazoo that everybody has literally ignored because it's against the food system. Anything past what your body needs, the body considers it poison, and it's having to deal with it. And some of them have functions, but the rest don't. And so they're just loitering. They call them zombie cells. So let's say at age 20, 99% of your cell structure are functional cells and 1% are senescent cells. By the time you're 50 years old, half of your body, if not more, are senescent cells.
What's encouraging about all this is when you notice the changes for the better and you recognize there is encouragement to keep going.
Are you having trouble losing weight? It could be due to insulin levels that are out of balance. Learn what fat-flushing food helps balance your insulin levels. It's basically a hormone that determines how much fat your body stores. Over 240,000 women have successfully melted unwanted fat off their body fast, faster than you would think possible, keeping it off for good. Learn how so many people have melted fat so quickly. Click the link below.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have a really exciting interview again lined up with Max and Phil, Max Champy and Phil Catalino, two of my favorite scientists. And they're from Live Longer Labs. And they're going to come on and talk about the way that you get rid of zombie cells and what zombie cells are. New research, it ties into fasting for aging, for helping you live better lives while you're living healthier, longer lives. It's fasting, but it's the research behind how to fast and how it gets rid of these zombie cells. And they explain what zombie cells are. And apparently, as we age, you get a higher and higher percentage of zombie cells that suck resources from your other cells, to the point that when you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, you're going to have more than 50% of your cells are zombie cells that you don't need, that are taking your resources from your good cells. And so they'll explain that and how fasting helps to eliminate it. But they also talk about how C60 is an ingredient for this whole mix, because when you fast, it creates oxidative stress. And so they'll explain it. Very interesting. And then they stick around for my Patreons to talk about the new research that they're doing with consciousness, how it ties to quantum physics and to sacred geometry and different symbols like pyramids and the flower of life and other basic symbols and what it means. Really interesting research. So you go to my patreon.com, and for those patrons that are signed up, thank you so much for supporting the program. You know how much I appreciate you. And for those that haven't signed up, it's as little as a dollar a month, and of course I could take more than a dollar a month to keep supporting the show. But again, for those who can't afford it, let me know. It's only a dollar a month, but let me know. I can get you some information for free. So now let's get into my interview with Max Champy and Phil Catalino.
Hi, Max and Phil. Welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Sarah. Nice to be here again.
Glad to be here. Glad to be talking to you again, Sarah.
Two of my favorite scientists. I love talking to you guys. You're fun. You just do, your brain is open. You don't have roadblocks, so you're able to think about all these different things. And then you actually do research on it, which is so much fun for me to talk to you. But you...
Oh, it's a lot of fun doing it.
I'm sure. Max, you have embarked on an anti-aging deal for the last... How long have you been doing this? A couple weeks? 3 weeks?
45 days now.
And you look a lot younger. You've lost weight. And then Phil just started it. But what the heck are you doing? And why does it work? I know you told me, gave me an overview of it, and it's really a breakthrough. At least maybe people knew this and understood it, but for the average person like me, I've never heard this before. So talk about this. It's very exciting.
Okay. I've done a bunch of research pushing the limits that's the basis of our laboratory, is to give quality of life to ourselves, our family, and people we know. And I want to push the limit in every way. You know, I took C60 for 6 months before I gave it to anybody else, and I drank a bottle a day. I mean, so I'm always pushing the limit. So through the research, someone reached out to me who does a version of intermittent fasting. And intermittent fasting's become popular on the internet. And he and I talked. He has several hundred thousand views on his website. And he and I talked in depth. And one of the side notes of intermittent fasting is the increased oxidative stress value. There's studies that came out of Brazil. In other words, debunking the process, saying that if you fast intermittently, you're going to cause high oxidative stress, so you're doing as much damage to your body as you're not. Well, I took that as kind of a challenge, because taking high doses of C60 live, you know, the process is deoxidation of the body. So I knew I wasn't going to create an increase in oxidative stress. I'm already at home, you know, at the homeostasis point, and I feel better than I have in 25 years, and I'm pushing 60. So with that being said, I said, all right, so how do you do it? And he and I talked in depth, and I watched some of his videos, and I said, you know, they've got this all wrong. Even, you know, some of what he's doing is wrong. And I don't want to insult him, but they're calling it fasting. And fasting is an absence of or abstain from food for long periods of time. I'm doing it for 16 to 18 hours a day. So what I'm calling it, and we've kind of coined the phrase, is optimal meal gapping, OMG, like, oh my God. And so what we do, and what I started doing, was through research, which everybody can go to PubMed, they can go to nature.com, they can go to Google, and they can put in autophagy, diabetes, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, cancer, all these modalities. They can put them in the search engine, and they will find studies out the wazoo that everybody has literally ignored because it's against the food system. You know, we've been poisoned with this idea that we've got to eat three squares a day. Your kids are going to grow up deformed and picked on because they're little twerps because you didn't give them oatmeal for breakfast and make them drink their cow milk. Well, all that's a crock. You know, anything past exactly what our body needs is poison, even if it's perfect. Okay, does that make sense? So
well, you can get the most anything. Yeah, anything past what my body needs goes right to my behind.
Okay, well, and that's right. So it turns into poison. Okay, you know, it's a form of poison.
Alzheimer's and dementia are the most misunderstood, cruelest, and costly of all diseases. Dementia starts 30 to 50 years before symptoms appear. Every 3 seconds, someone gets diagnosed. 10% at age 65, 25% at age 75, and 50% at age 85 will be diagnosed. But symptoms are reversible despite what conventional medicine will tell you. Research has conclusively shown that what you do or don't do in your middle years can greatly impact your risk of Alzheimer's. Make simple changes discussed in the free 26-page report available below. You will also be signed up for the free summit when you download this free report. You will learn the best foods, herbs, and supplements for brain health. And by following these, it will dramatically reduce the chance you'll end up with this devastating issue. Take action now before memory loss is irreversible.
So even if you ate the most organic, perfectly grown vegetables and fruit, you didn't eat any meat or eat meat, it doesn't matter, and you drank the purified water, anything past what your body needs, the body considers it poison and it's having to deal with it. Now you imagine doing that 4 to 6 times a day. So now shipping and receiving the ingestional tract of your body is overwhelmed. It's going, what am I doing with all this? So it forms fat cells. It helps increase senescent cells. Senescent cells, we talked about when Dr. Loretta and I were on the show. And senescent cells are when we're born, our foot is on the gas pedal, creating cells because it wants us to grow big and strong. You know, we're an organism and we want to live as long as we can. And that's the basis of every organism, whether it's a cancer or a bacteria, good or bad, it's just trying to survive. That's all it is. And so you have to take out the dark side versus the light side and look at it from a biological standpoint. So when we're born, our foot is on the gas pedal, creating cell structure. At age 19, 20, we've reached our growth, past our growth spurt, puberty. And you would think that our foot kind of gets off the gas pedal. It never lets off. So let's say at age 20, 99% of your cell structure are functional cells and 1% are senescent cells. These loitering, you know, I'm trying to explain it so everybody can understand it. Let's say you had a bubble machine in you, and the more bubbles it creates, it gets denser and denser. They become more compacted and just more compacted. And some of them have functions, but the rest don't. And so they're just loitering. They call them zombie cells. And there's not a lot of info out there on it, okay? Because they don't want you to know this. I'm just sharing this. And so as we reach age 20, like I said, you can have 99% functional motor cells and cells doing positive things for the body, and you'll have 1% senescent cells. So an abundance of cells that aren't doing anything, let's say 1%. By 30, that number can go up 25%. By 40, that can go up 45%. By the time you're 50 years old, half of your body, if not more, are senescent cells. So every time you go ahead.
So these extra cells are why we're aging, because it's sucking up resources and doing crap that it shouldn't be doing.
That's exactly right. So if you eat fruit at age 20 and half of that fruit, or let's say 99% of that fruit went to a function and 1% went to feed this senescent cell, and at age 50 you eat that same piece of fruit, half of it supporting your life support system, and the other half goes to these loitering cells doing nothing.
So how do you get rid of these cells? This fasting process starts to get rid of them, or is there more to it?
Well, Dr. Loretta and I talked about it in the previous. They're doing extreme stem cell research trying to reach these senescent cells. And if you go deep into the research, they've looked at various antioxidants from various fruits and vegetables, and they have shown mild, very little result. And then they took chemo poison, you can call it whatever you want, but it's poison to the body, and they mix it with some of these antioxidants and saw positive results in some of the mice. Well, to each his own, but I'm not putting poison in my body to get rid of senescent cells. So the other research that's kind of gone ignored was spacing your meals, and you see results, and you see the absence of senescent cells. You see, and I'll explain it in detail. What started this with me was, and during the Great Depression, I wasn't alive, obviously, but my parents were. And during the Great Depression, between 29 and 33, there was a 25% increase in life expectancy when our society was starving. A 25%. It increased 6 years. Back then, you didn't live that long. And it increased 6 years. And they said, what the hell is going on? And it was the absence of consuming food and overwhelming your body. So anything past what you need is too much. It's like putting gas in your gas tank and then it starts pouring out on the ground. Too much. So I wanted to play with that. And So when you go into spacing your meals at 16 to 20 hours, that's about the realm that I'm in. I'd go at least 16. And so I don't eat breakfast. I'm not a big breakfast guy. I don't eat lunch. And I'm just telling you what I do. And people can modify it and do their own research. But I don't eat breakfast or lunch. And I eat within a 4 to 6 hour window. So I eat between, you know, and you want to be so that you'll stick to it or work with it, become a lifestyle with it. So you don't want to make it complicated where you're not eating when your wife does or when the kids normally do or you get home from work.
And it can't be something where you're just starving. I mean, it has to be like something your body can work with and that you mentally can work with.
The magic behind it is you start seeing results in 24 to 48 hours. You know, it's not 3 weeks and you get on the scale and say, shit, I lost 1 pound, you know, and I passed.
You know, I've been working out 5 days a week and I've been, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I'm
no,
there.
That's the craziness of dieting. That's the craziness of the diet.
So I want to tell you what I've been doing because I've been doing what Max is talking about more recently than Max has been doing it for a while. And so I've lost probably about 23, 24 pounds. I'm 147. My ideal weight is between 140 and 144. So within 3 pounds of my ideal weight.
How long have you been doing it?
Here's the things that I've been doing. I've been following the program, the Plant Paradox program for food and eating and nutrition from Dr. Gundry. I like that work. I've been following it for the last 4 months. But more than that, I've been following the work of Anthony William, because his books are Medical Medium. And the information there is about the type of food you eat, why you eat it, what's the food do to the body, and all of those practical type things that I, you know, gravitated to. So as a result of changing the kinds of food I ate, when I ate, how much of it I ate, and the mix of this intermittent or meal gapping activity, spreading out when I eat, helped me lose weight regularly. Now, I got to honestly say, my stomach shrunk. And as a result, I'm eating less. So that's also a factor. But overall, I think making radical changes to the body in our environment also contributes to the changes your body experiences and the health and well-being and the weight lost. Because I think it's just a matter of getting off of a routine and a program that we've been raised in and actually making physical changes along with the food and understanding why the food and the processes are doing what they're doing. When you understand those things, it's easy to follow.
It's easier. Now, you were saying, Max, that you eat within 4 to 6 hours. Do you restrict how much you eat within those 4 to 6 hours, or do you just eat whatever you want in 4 to 6 hour?
Yeah, gap? I even went as far to eating Krispy Kreme donut. Now, I'm not trying to promote any, I just didn't want it to be carb restriction, no meat, certain vegetables, Phil's on fruit and vegetables, and he kind of eats that. And I said, well, you graze in that arena. Let's see the results. And then I'm going to start my rodeo and we'll compare notes. Because like I said, we push the limits of this. So after I've talked to this guy who's pretty famous for his work with intermittent fasting, you know, I said, you're calling it wrong and you're doing some things wrong that set off alarms to a bunch of people. I said, let's call it meal gapping and let's space the meals based on science and see where we can optimize. And so my first 2 weeks, I ate between 3 and 9 o'clock. And, you know, after the first day I got up, didn't eat breakfast. And you get busy. We get busy here at the lab. There's sometimes we don't eat. that long. But we'd grab a handful of nuts. We've got pretzels in here and various things. And you just, you know, add that to the equation. All right. So in the first 2 weeks, after discussing this with multiple doctors, multiple researchers, I also came to the conclusion that if you take the absence of water or liquid out of that, you get three times the effect. Because your body reacts, it thinks it's going into a dehydration mode. So it starts this autophagy. And what it's doing is the cells start looking for the lowest hanging fruit to pull water out of and to break down those cells for energy to keep this body functioning. Okay. And you say, oh, I can't do without my coffee or I can't do without my tea. Well, I drink water, purified water all the time. And so I said, let's just try it. Let's see if I can mentally push the limit here. So first day I did it. And I, you know, by 3 o'clock, I said, I'm going to eat anything that's dead between me and home. You know, I'm starving. And I got home and my wife had made something to eat and she wanted to eat with me. And I ate half my normal plate because my stomach was already adapting to the absence of food. And I said, well, I'll eat again in 3 or 4 hours. Well, at the end of that 3 or 4 hours, I drank some iced tea and I said, I'm not hungry. So the next day I got up, did it again, and by the third day, I said, I wonder what the scale says. And so I got on the scale, and I'd lost 9 pounds. And I went, no, you know. And so I said, okay, it's an absence of water. It's an absence of fluid. And so I've been checking, making sure I'm not dehydrated. I live high in the mountains. You know, water's not abundant in the atmosphere. So in this process, Sarah, because we're gonna write it all down and put it in a book or several pages on our website. I'll give it to you and you can do it too. Your body absorbs, when you go into this phase of autophagy, your body absorbs any water it can get because it's looking for an answer to the problem. So even when you take a shower or brush your teeth, your body absorbs that water. And 99, I would say better than 99% of the water out there is heavily chlorinated. It's got fluoride in it. So you're poisoning yourself with the exact problem that I'm trying to circumvent. So with that being said, you know, I'm used to brushing my teeth and taking a shower in the morning. So now I've got to regulate brushing my teeth before I go to bed and taking a shower in the evening. Well, if I've already gave my body the liquid that it was looking for to function, when I take a shower and brush my teeth, it doesn't absorb that poisonous water, if that makes sense. Because my body doesn't need anymore, so it's not having to deal with it because I didn't consume it in my mouth. So it's not this overwhelming of water or resources. So it doesn't absorb it into the skin like it normally would if I was in a dehydrated state.
Okay, so how do you know that your cells, those zombie cells, are going down?
This is part of it. When you take an absence of water, you take an absence of water and a caloric restriction or a less food, your body only has one source for that resource, and it's to break down the lowest hanging fruit to create energy and water for your body. Okay, each one of us are metabolically unique. Yeah, we're tied together genetically and we're all one or whatever the case may be. But we're all based on blood types, you know, genetic coding, history in your family chain, hereditary. You know, we're all specifically designed different. Well, when your body starts looking for this water to compensate for its absence, it starts breaking down cells and using them for energy and water. So during that period in time, it synthesizes the perfect water for your body because it's taking hydrogens from fat cells and oxygen from the air that you breathe, and it's creating H2O for your body. Okay. In the same process, That's to supply the body. And in the same process, it's breaking down these cells for the extra compensation of the absence of water.
But how do you know? Were you able to see it in a microscope? Were you able to test it? Were you able to? Because how do you know it's not pooling? Because you can also get thinner and lose weight when your cells have less in it versus the cells going away.
Correct. Okay. So I started, this gets a little bit interesting. I wasn't going to talk about it. I started measuring how much pee I created. Okay. Which, you know, everybody doesn't need to do. You don't need to walk around with a Petri dish or a beaker and pee in it and say, ooh.
Well, you guys are scientists, so everything to you is something to research.
This is a crazy place, is all I can tell you. You know,
when your pee is the most exciting thing right now, it's okay. That's why I like talking to you guys. Okay.
So I was peeing more
and drinking less.
Wow. Okay.
There's only one source it could come from. At the time was from cell breakdown. Whether it's fat, whether it's senescent, it's going to pull it from the lowest hanging fruit. So the weak cells are going to lose fluid from them. And they may not completely break the weak cells down, but then they were on their way out, and now you've rejuvenated it because you pulled the portion out of it. And because it's now a weak cell, it starts restructuring itself. So I read research where they had purposely damaged rats' livers, pancreas, and they physically grew, you know, they could physically see the changing in color of those organs, where they literally grew new cells from the organ from one side to the other. So you literally are regrowing yourself from the inside out.
Well, but how do you know? How did you figure out that that's actually what's going on? Like, did you look is there a way to, there's a marker?
There's not a real good test. There's a group out of Israel that shared information with me, and they're able to create a marker that can measure senescent cell structure. And Dr. Loretta gave me the information, and then I reached out to them. So yes, there is a way.
Because that's important to know, right? Because then you can say, I had 100 per millimeter. I know it's way more than that. And now I have 70. You know, I mean, some way of measuring.
Well, you start seeing the changes. It becomes, you know, you say, first you lose weight and you feel better. You feel younger. You feel vibrant. And the eating in that window becomes reasonable. You know, let's say the average person says, well, I don't want it from 3 to 9 p.m. or 3 to 8 p.m. or 3 to 7 p.m. I'm a breakfast and lunch guy. Well, then eat breakfast and lunch. I don't care when you do it. I'm just telling you when I do it, because it works out best for me with my wife or kids or whatever the case may be. It works out, you know, in a social world. So I skip breakfast because I'm usually here early and Phil is too, and it just works for me. And that's the word breakfast is breaking fast. Break fast.
I want to point out something that's important. This is more of a lifestyle change and understanding, not a fad. When I learn and understand something, then I can apply it with knowledge and go after something that's going to benefit me. And I recognize the physical changes that I have. I feel, just like Max said, I feel younger. I have more vibrant energy. I can do more. I just know those are the changes that my body's experiencing based on what I've learned. And I'm applying it, both the food. Now, Max said he can mostly eat anything. I've been eating organic, non-GMO, and gluten-free for, I don't know, decades, many, many decades. And I'm continuing that. I'm adjusting the types of food I eat, when I eat them, how much I eat them, and I'm noticing the difference. So this is a protocol and a lifestyle change that is recommended not only by us and what we're experiencing, but by many other scientists and researchers who have made those same discoveries.
So now, Phil, would you say the biggest difference between you and Max is that you're really focused on what to eat as well, but are you doing the meal gapping just like Max, or
yes,
have you?
Yes.
Okay.
You just started recently.
I just started, but maybe like only about a week and a half, maybe 10 days or so, so well, far. But now that I recognize how it's affecting my body, I'm going to continue that because it works.
So the meal gapping made a huge difference on top of what you're already doing.
Yes.
Okay. And I would support that. You know, if you eat low carb, high protein, high, you know, organic quality food, you're going to get much better results. There's proof in the pudding that people that are vegetarian and space their meals, they look different. They look 20 years younger than their counterparts. And there's, you know, they say, wow, they suffer. They don't get to eat Mickey D's or In-N-Out Burger or whatever. That's their choice. I go to In-N-Out Burger. If I'm driving down the road and it's within my window, if I'm hungry for it, I stop and eat. And I don't look along the side and say, that thing's got 500 calories in it. I don't look because during that space and time between my meals, my body has pulled everything out of that it needed to process and has optimized it to its fullest extent and got rid of the rest. So there's nothing put on the shelves drawing dust. There's no senescent cell addition. There's no fat increase. I'm optimizing my processing system, which nobody talks about. They're just talking about the results, but you need to figure out what you're doing also.
Now, when you're doing that, is it creating more oxidative stress that the C60 is taking care of, or is it not?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the combination of doing this meal gapping with the C60 that is creating these results.
That's exactly, and for me, you know, you can get results, but they say, well, maybe you ought to not skip a meal 3 days a week or 2 days a week, because there's not a ton of research on it and they're trying to poke holes in it. Promise you, they're trying to poke holes in it, because if everybody started eating one or two meals a day, our economy is going to feel the pinch, you know?
So the C60 is a supplementing factor to this whole process, because we know how C60 affects the body in numerous ways in improving everything within the body. So when you start introducing the other things, such as the meal gapping and the quantity and the timing of eating, those are incredible factors that come into play for the overall health and well-being.
And I'm not doing this to sell C60. Promise you 100%. I didn't even care if I talked about C60. You know, like we have expressed in the past, we're not a commercial establishment that does research. We're a research place that stumbled across a commercial product.
Right? I mean, that's because I'm stumbling across a lot of things just doing what I'm doing, because I'm looking at the edge. But now let me ask you this. You sent me a picture of you from 6 years ago to today. There's a marked difference. Now, how much of that is the C60 and the stuff you're using on your face and what you're doing just now over the last 45 days?
I went to Central America for a couple of weeks, and that's when I started this meal gapping. I was down there doing work and doing some research, and I said, you know what, I'm going to do this. And when I came back from that, my wife just stood there and looked at me with her mouth open. And I said, damn, you know, what's wrong? You know, I got mustard on my face. You know, I mean, she goes, oh my God. She said, you know, you being in Central America has reduced your aging by 10 years. And I said, well, I don't know, because we've been down there before. I didn't see that grand of results. I said, I've been doing some research while I was on my own, because I didn't want you to affect it. And she goes, what? And so I sat down and explained it to her. And I had a piece of rope tied to my pants because I couldn't find a belt. Because everybody down and where I'm at are Mayan, and they're 3 feet tall and weigh 110 pounds. Well, they don't have a rope. I mean, a belt for a size 40 waist. Well, now I'm wearing 36. So I had a piece of rope holding my pants up. I look like, you know, Robinson Crusoe. Yeah.
Well,
and so
go ahead.
So my wife goes, "What are you doing with a rope?" I said, I took pants that don't fit anymore. And she goes, "Oh my God." You know, and this is, you know, this is my spouse. This is somebody who sees me pretty regular. And she goes, "Well, you got to explain." And so when Phil saw me and Rob here at the lab and Jeremy FaceTimed me and Jono, they, you know, they all leaned forward and they went, "What are you doing?"
Different.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Because it's not just losing weight. You know, everybody looks so much better when they lose weight. But you have less wrinkles. I'm going to show the picture before and after people say you look younger. You don't just look healthier after losing weight. You know, everybody's seen that and everybody looks great. You actually, there's more to it.
No, and I agree 100%. And I'm not doing it for those egotistic values. You know, we all want to look as best as we can, you know, or you wouldn't comb your hair and you'd grow hair like Phil and a beard. You know, I'm kidding, Phil. But
well, the only reason I spend time looking good is so my listeners don't tell me I look like I just woke up and put my, you know, I just rolled out of bed. I don't want to get yelled at anymore about how crap I look, so I make an effort. But other than that, I wish I could shave my head and just do nothing.
No, I agree. I agree 100%. That's not why I'm here for. But the effects of what happened are noticeable. We were in Colorado Springs meeting part of Pure Bella Vita that distributes Live Longer Labs product for us. And we went to a restaurant that cards anybody under 50. It's just normal practice. So I go up to order something and the girl goes, "Can I see your ID?" And I said, "Woman, I'm in here all the time, you know," and I give her my driver's license. And she goes, "I remember you." She goes, "You know," she goes, "What have you done?" And I went, "What do you mean, what have I done?" She goes, "Hey," and calls over the other girl that runs a register. And she goes, "How old do you think he is?" And she goes, "Oh, probably 42. And I said, "Well, I appreciate it, sweetheart, but, you know, I'm 58. And she goes, "Oh, my God." She goes, "I remember you." She goes, "You're doing something." And I said, "Well, I've lost some weight." She goes, "No, you look younger. You physically look vibrant and younger." Well, it's the side effect from treating your body right. That's all it is.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've had the same kind of compliment. In fact, just a couple of days ago, and someone told me that I'm probably 61, 62, and I'm in my 72nd year.
Yeah, so you look great for being 72.
I feel great, and it's an effort of some degree to follow this. But when you understand what you're doing, boy, it's easy, and you know why you're doing it.
Okay.
Well, no, you said there was more, though, Phil, that you said about why you eat certain foods and things. So would you take it a step farther than Max does as far as why you eat certain things and what they do to your body? Or do you really think it's the meal gapping that is?
It's a combination. It is absolutely a combination because we're very diversified in our lives and what we do. So when I eat, like say, for instance, one of the things I've eliminated is white potatoes. Okay? I eat sweet potatoes instead of white potatoes. And that's just one of the things that I've eliminated. And I've noticed a difference from that alone. And between my meal gapping and sometimes I'm actually going for a longer fast. Like what kicked me off on this was a 32-hour fast that I went through just prior to a spiritual retreat that Max and I went to And
tell them it's ayahuasca. We wanted to view into the other realms.
We did an ayahuasca weekend.
Oh, that would be so cool. I've always wanted to do that. Did you experience everything they talk about?
Oh yeah.
Yes. This was my 20th time.
I want to do that sometime, but go ahead.
If you take it, do it 12 times, you get bald and you shrink. But no,
I turn into a wizard.
I've done it 12 times, and I am very impressed with the feelings and the attitude that I've adjusted with in as a result of working with the ayahuasca and the pineal and the DMT. But it's a combination effect. The food, when I eat, the type of foods, how often, those are the contributing factors. Those are the main contributing factors. But again, exercise comes into play. The air you drink, the air you breathe, the water you drink—all of those are also big factors.
Yeah, there isn't a silver bullet, right?
No, there's not a silver bullet.
C60 is a big deal though, because it gets rid of the oxidative stress. But you know, I think we're figuring out how to. We don't know exactly if C60 is going to expand life quite a bit. Or just live, feel so much better until you die. But there's also that telomere deal where your telomere shrinks. We have to figure that out as well. And I think we're on the edge of that.
We've done a telomere testing. We've done it.
And does the C60 keep it longer for longer?
Oh yeah. Completely reversed it. They told me I was 35 years old.
So the C60 lengthens the telomeres.
Yes.
Okay.
We have 8 different people that have taken telomere tests, and we're all outliers. In other words, all of us are so far off the chart for our demographic that they say that there's an anomaly in our process.
Because it's so important. The telomere is, there's one thing about being healthier and feeling better and then dying at 120. There's another thing of healthier, feeling better and living to 150 or 200.
And being functional. If I can't wipe my own tail in and I'm 150, I could care less. But I'm fist fighting and drinking beer and raising hell at 150, I'm in, And so I listen to everything. I do research, if Phil goes to bed when the sun goes down, I stay up till 2 a.m. and get up at 6:00. I mean,
I can't.
My wife
that.
Goes to bed. Nobody understands. And there's
you only
text
have to sleep
up.
For 4 hours.
That's
I
what
wish I
do.
I only had to. I need to, a I lot of sleep.
I think the biggest waste is eating and sleeping. I mean, I'm just, you should benefit.
I like to eat.
Y'all know, and a lot of people like sleeping. And when I go to sleep, my wife goes, when you lay your head down, it's 15 seconds and you're done. I said, well, that's what sleeping's for. I'm not going to procrastinate.
I didn't have to sleep, but I get tired. I mean, I need more sleep and I don't know why. But, I wish I was like you.
Here's the cherry on top from this process. So if you could talk to Dr. Fung, who does research, he does dialysis. That's where his expertise is in diabetes. He is now gone. He calls it intermittent fasting. He does it a little different, sectionals during the day, because there's not a whole lot of research out there. So he has shown he has reversed type 2 diabetes doing what I'm doing.
Well, now, is it a 4 to 6? Do we know what the window is that you can eat? Is it a 4 to 6 hours? Is it 3 hours?
They say metabolically, your body optimizes its autophagy in a 16 to 18 hour realm.
Okay. So basically, the fasting has to be 16 to 18 hours. I lost the video here. I lost the video. Let's reconnect. I don't know why you guys stopped moving. Hold on. Okay, so I can get it. So it's 16 to 18 hours. So if we fast for 16 to 18 hours and then we eat for 6 to 8 hours, Does it matter what time? Like, let's say you fast for 20 hours and eat for 6 to 8 hours. And then another day you do it, fast for 16 and eat for, 6 to 8 hours. Does it really matter if you're perfect?
No. And what you've done is you've cleaned your system out. You've optimized it. And your cells are used to seeing this action. So even when you do eat, let's say you're out socially or with family and friends on vacation, you say, you know what? I'm going to eat breakfast today, or I'm going to eat whatever the case may be. Doing it 2 or 3 times a day probably won't even affect it. There's research at the University of Illinois where they fast a day, and they say you can eat everything you want on the next day, everything. So the average human will eat 110% more than it eats 100% every day. Then on the days off, it increases its consumption by only 10% because that's what the body is used to consuming. And they have shown just the absence of that one day brought glucose levels down and cholesterol levels down in an acceptable balance. Just by one day.
If you don't get rid of the oxidative stress during that process, then it balances out the benefits. Like the fasting creates enough oxidative stress that it cancels out any benefits. So,
and that's what they say. You see physical results and you feel physical results, but this study that came out of South America, like I said, I think it's trying to punch holes in the work that's being done by Dr. Fung and other people, because the system is designed for us to eat as much as we can eat. You know, I record TV because I hate commercials, and certain things I watch, research and strange stuff. And I was just going through the commercial aspect, and there were 6 medical commercials from drugs they wanted to sell me, and there were 6 food commercials and 1 insurance commercial. And I said, you know, it's drugs and food. You consume the food, causes you to get sick. They prescribe you drugs to alleviate the issue, the feeling of it. It doesn't correct it. And then it's just a vicious cycle. So they're all supporting each other. I mean, it's all monetarily supporting each other. And I'm not here telling everybody to quit eating. That's not my intent, but I'm telling you what I'm doing. When we were discussing in private and emailing each other, you said, Max, we've got to talk about what you're doing.
Well, you look so much younger. It's really crazy. So you could almost say I can eat between noon and 6 p.m. I just have to fit all my food in there. And that could be the
bath and brush your teeth.
And take your bath and brush your teeth. So the only thing that I have a problem with is how do I brush my teeth and not have gross morning breath?
No. And I understand that. I understand it. You get triple the results with the absence of fluid. So I'm the kind of guy that I want to get 3 days or 1, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'm going all out or nothing. It's not mediocre. And so that's the reason I did it, was this style. Now, I ordered Spree gum. You know, we live in the middle of nowhere, so you can't go down to your Whole Foods store because we don't have a Whole Foods. We got one 2 hours away. So I ordered Spree gum that uses xylitol, which kills dental bacteria decay. And so I get up in the morning. In fact, I carry it around with me, and I chew 2 or 3 pieces of the Spree gum or xylitol gum multiple times during the day. But it's not, there's no sugar in it, so I'm not creating an issue in my body. And I'm able to, it's simulating brushing my teeth. I'm not trying to.
Okay, for those of us that won't be able to do that, brushing your teeth might not be that big of a deal in the grand scheme, as long as you're doing.
No. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not trying to get everybody to do this.
I know. I'm just trying to say, okay, that's not like, okay, I fast, I eat from noon to 6. but I brush my teeth in the morning that throws the whole thing off and it won't work anyways. And I'm just going to be frustrated. No.
You can even drink. you know what I mean? People say, I got to have my coffee and my tea. Well, if they got to skip the cream and the sugar and, you know, this thing looks like a triple macchiato milkshake from Starbucks, and it's got crumbles falling off of it and stars flying out of it. Well, yeah, you kind of busted the whole idea of not consuming because it's in a liquid form. No, you need to drink something that doesn't have sugar in it. Let's be realistic here. You know, so if you want to drink coffee, tea, green tea has great benefits for cell structure. You know, that's your choice. Try it with the water and without. Like, try it 2 or 3 days with the water and then a day without and see how well you do. And monitor yourself. Like I said, facts. The facts of this are they have shown a reduction in proteins that cause Alzheimer's. They have shown that, you know, we quit growing neurons in our brain when we're 18 or 19 years of age. Your brain starts dying then. They have shown that in mice that neurons start forming again. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, well, what's the basis behind that? Well, stupid, you're not creating food for your body, and your body goes, okay, dummy, you know, you forgot where the fruit tree is that we are surviving on, so we're going to have to re-stimulate the brain so that we can remember how we get to the fruit tree.
Oh.
And so
it grows back brain cells because it figures out you're a dipshit.
You're at a disadvantage. We're getting dumb.
So seriously, Sarah, what's encouraging about all this is when you notice the changes for the better. And you recognize there is encouragement to keep going.
I have one of those old Simon toys, you know, that test your memory. It has the four colors on it and it lights up and you do it. We use it here and I have it at the house. And yeah, you fail. Anyway, so when I would do it, I would get 4 or 5 stages into it and then I'd get frustrated and do it. Now I'm doing it 8 and 9 levels into it. So noticeably, I have seen an increase in cognitive ability. Noticeably.
Wow.
Just myself. Okay. Am I growing new neurons? Am I too early into this? I couldn't tell you because I haven't measured the neurons in my brain. But research shows that in the mice, when they subjected them to absence of food and water, they started growing new neurons because they were afraid that the mice was afraid that it was forgetting where it was getting its food and water source from. So that's the same thing our body's doing. It wants to survive.
Wow, that's incredible. What an interesting. Will you guys stick around to talk about some of your consciousness studies with symbols and things?
Oh, yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much. Of course, you're going to be back. Give it about 6 weeks or so, and we'll have you back. Because you're always coming up with something.
Yes. Yeah, we'll take pictures and talk more in depth. Maybe we'll talk more in depth about how this affects diabetes and fatty liver and pancreas production and insulin. Because you can really get – I was looking at it for the rejuvenation aspect of just the body in general. And then I found out all these other things that it literally – is affecting the possibility of cancer, Alzheimer's. It's rejuvenating the brain.
Arthritis.
People need to look at this. You know, you don't look for the magic pill in C60 or the Cilinthrum vitamin or whatever it is. It doesn't exist. But if you quit poisoning your body by overstuffing it, you're putting 3 pillows in a pillowcase. You know, if you take it down to the 1 pillow, then the pillowcase works perfect. And so if you just control intake and take C60, and I'm not pushing it, I'm really not, but if you take C60 for that absence of meal time, that space of gapping, I strongly suggest that you'll feel like $1 million. And I bet you your AC1 goes to normal, your blood sugar count. You know, go get a blood test before you do it. Talk to your doctor and see. He's going to tell you, oh, hell no. You know, we want you fat and sassy and taking medicine, but...
A good doctor wants you well, but yes. Yeah.
On the average.
They're taught differently.
On the average. But go talk to your doctor before you do it if you're concerned with it. But there's tons of research. You know, there's tons of research that are supporting it, but you have to look for it. They're not putting it on the front of Fox News or one of the major networks and say you could live longer and live healthier if all you did was cut down your consumption of food.
Well, and it's not just that, it's sounding like, because of the oxidative stress. So, but I like the idea of, okay, you have a window that you can eat from 12 to 6 or something, because that's something I could do. That's doable, 11 to 5, you know. But if it's just like one meal a day, that's harder.
Try it. You know, proof in the pudding. Try it. Get on the scale. You know, if you're borderline diabetic or if you're diabetic, you know, get the little thing and pluck your finger and measure your glucose level. Do some things on your own. Take pictures of yourself and do it for a week. A week to live 30 more years of quality life, sacrificing a week to see if it works is worth, you know, you can't even put a price tag on it.
It sounds,
we can buy everything on this planet. You probably could even buy good health if you do it right, but you can't buy time. And every day is precious. And so I want to be around as long as I can to terrorize everybody else.
Well, to keep doing your research. Pain in the butt.
Well, it terrorizes a lot of people. You'd be surprised how many toes we step on.
Well, thank you so much, and stick around for the little segment.
Okay.
Right. Thank you very much, Sarah.